Kaiba's got the stats and he's the leader of the team. Mark's magic multi keeps the punters keen. Trainer's crunching numbers and he's saving his trades. Guzzy says he's calm but he's got people to spray. And there's Dan, he'll join in whenever he can. That's why we all call him the world's busiest man. We're playing for Sheep Station, P4SF. We're playing for Sheep Station, P4SF.
Thanks for that, Luke Metcalf. The talk of the preseason, W scoring updates to a whopping 12. Thank goodness for the flex. Here's hoping for a decent score in that position this week. All hail King Ponga. I think that's the way we're going. We've got a new king at fullback. On updates, or should I say down dates, any thoughts on how Hosking lost his line break assist and try assist, and then they didn't give him to Nathan Cleary in the next game? I'm sure that might make a certain angry fans list, Guardsy. Last year, Nicho and Cleary would fart on the other side of the field and get those updates. Try assist for blowing smoke up someone's backside. On a thanks for that, a really big thanks for that. The Gillaroos right side. I needed one more try for Kev to win about $1,600. Kev, the common man. He was going to shout us a succulent Chinese meal. Literally, we were next to a Chinese restaurant and we'd already booked in when they'd scored 5 tries in the first 30 minutes.
But the funniest thing was he was coming back from the toilet and he didn't see the lead up. He just saw the end result. He didn't see the double movement. He just saw the ball over the line. So he was up and about.
So the double movement cost
the double
him.
Movement.
Unbelievable. Kev absolutely devastated in front of about 35 people. And he was up and about and then deflated pretty quickly by the double movement. So joined tonight by Mark and Guardsy, just the three of us again. Boys, what do you think of the footy first up? I've got a little commentary that I want to make about Vegas round, but what did you think? Mark, do you want
to? Happy to have the footy back. Had a few beers. Was it good? Big What's Red. That was my highlight. Big Red, he's back. Just lock him in.
Definitely. Big Red just throwing offloads around like he had to.
From the first minute too. Like it was nearly the first set. He was just pumping him out the back and it was like, hello.
And I loved how he was just straight into still being just absolutely ripping up the ref about every single play that came up. It was outstanding.
Little sook. Then
I don't care if he makes an error and he still yells at the ref. That's what you want.
Yeah. I did think Ricky Stewart should have gone and got KO Weeks off the casino floor, not left him there for the entire game, but that would have been handy.
Would have been nice if they did something to get KO involved, wouldn't it?
Yeah, bit difficult. I mean, 33 is not the worst. I think that's what he ended up scoring. So if that's his worst game, they look pretty good in attack. So I've written down the week that was round zero, Vegas lived up to the hype, except for, I think, 4 games was just one too many. It was a long, long day. I think the Sharks and Panthers showed that they'll be up in the top class of teams this year. AFB looked enormous, and I think he can unlock your man, Brayley, with his quick ruck speed. So it's a bit surprised Brayley, I don't think, even got a contribution for his try, even though...
No, he got nothing. I thought he would have.
Yeah, I thought he might have got a try contribution, but the ruck speed was outstanding with AFB. I think he's a guy that you're going to want sooner rather than later. I know we don't like to pay up too much in front row, but he's just a set and forget along with your man, Big Red. And if Terrell May comes on board, well, there's 3. You move Tino down to the back row and you're laughing with 4 pretty solid scores, I think might be a way to go. Nicho and Trindle work well together, I thought, in the first half, not as much in the second half. I felt like it was a bit more Trindle's team. Worried for Nicho owners that he's not kicking yet. I think he will, but must mean there's some sort of niggle in that groin. I did have a laugh in the last 2 minutes when Trindle thought he'd just run instead of putting on any sort of attacking play, which pretty much ended the game. The Raiders looked gritty, but they also looked exciting, I thought, with the offloads in the middle, which allowed heaps of second phase plays. Xavier Savage looks like, no longer does he just look like Tarzan and play like Jane, he looks like Tarzan and plays like Tarzan. Hot Tamale, he looked pretty good. Bit hard now to get a read on whether he's going to keep his spot with Savage out for a couple of weeks.
So he will for at least a week.
So he'll keep his spot for a week, but, you know, it's hard to know whether he's going to keep it when they're all back. Which is not a bad thing. Ethan Strange looked really strong as well. I thought he's added a bit of a passing game to that really good running game. Could he be this year's Lachie Galvin, like a big breakout year for him? The Warriors. Oh, and I also thought Hosking looked really good. People are a bit worried that he only played 66 minutes, but I went back and looked when he went off. He went off after 66 minutes and didn't come back on when the game was well at hand. For a guy coming back from a couple of injuries and a couple of long-term injuries, I think that was just management of him. And when the Raiders are in a close game, I think he'll certainly look closer to 80 minutes. And he just looks an out-and-out footballer. I really like the look of him, and I don't mind having him. On the Raiders, on the Warriors side, they look bloody ordinary. They look disorganised. They look like they didn't know what their plan was. They look slow. I think if they didn't have Roger coming out of the backfield, they would have just got absolutely dominated all game. So Roger's probably the only one I'm looking at. I couldn't believe they left Jackson Ford on when Starling ran straight past up
the middle.
Like, I would have had the hook out and got rid of him for that. So Roger got 73, I think, with a fingertip towards a second try. I think they're just going to look down that side, and Roger's probably going to get plenty of base stats and plenty of attacking stats. I'm worried for Metcalf. I didn't think he stood up on the big stage, but can give him another couple of, or give him at least another week in round two. So anything to add on that, boys?
No, I thought in the Sharks Penrith game that Lindsay Smith, I think he ended up on 73 points all as well. Base. So he just really stepped up with Fisher Harris gone. He played pretty big minutes last year.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I think
there's that, someone out there, isn't there, though? Is it
Liam Henry's out? So that might change his minutes ever so slightly, but he probably doesn't go down in minutes now that he's shown that he can do that. So
I also thought Tungo looked better than last year.
Yeah.
More involved, and with Cleary back, he's a guy you could watch.
Yeah, he's not too expensive either.
Only like 500K.
So. Yeah, so hard watch on that one. We might head straight into team lists for the second part of round one. Six games. Pretty excited. There's one game already confirmed to be moving, which is the Friday Dolphins versus Rabbitohs game's been moved to Combank Stadium. So don't know what the weather's meant to be like down here, but I think with the old cyclone coming across.
Yeah. There's no cyclones in Sydney, so that's a plus.
There's no cyclones, but there could be plenty of rain about, but I don't know. I don't know if that's going to matter too much. I think always choose the middles in the start of the year. They're pretty solid points, and have a bit of a fade on some of those more attacking players if you want to be a bit conservative, or if you want to go all out attack, load up on your centre wings and your attacking edge back rowers and your halves. Mark, I think you've done a bit of work on the team list. Do you want to just go through what you've got? Guards, have you done any work on the team lists?
I looked at them.
Yeah. Righto, you chime in. We'll chime in when Mark misses something, or...
I invariably will.
I've got a couple of notes from Trainer. So when we get to the...
It's the first game, don't worry. I've got Trainer covered. It's the same thing I was thinking anyway.
Okay, well, you can...
Yeah.
You chime in for Trainer. He's again on Alfie duty after another game of touch footy. So hopefully touch footy finishes soon. You can get the young fella down.
Or he does a hamstring or something.
Yeah, whatever. It's likely. Yeah. Although they're very small hamstrings, not very long legs.
I tell you, small hands, small hamstrings.
Definitely.
Yeah, there you go.
We've got to be practicing during the week here. Noah Kanatawasi.
Is that how they
you
say it?
You don't have to, I don't think we have to beep anything out there. I think I've said that right.
Isn't it Nawonga?
Noah Kanatawasi.
Why don't we just call him Mark?
Mark. He's been named in the centres with Robert Toya.
Yeah.
With Billy Smith still out. White, who I think is a pretty popular sort of cheapy mid selection, named at prop. Butcher at 13. Wong played there during the trials, and I think he was another one who was pretty popular, but he's dropped back to the bench. The Roosters do have Zach Docker-Clay on their bench, so whether that has any impact on Connor Watson, you just imagine, though, he slots into that lock spot when Docker-Clay comes on. But... something to think about. Corey Pake starts at hooker.
So who's Angus and who on the edge?
Victor.
Yeah, Red. Victor. Oh, Victor. Okay. Yeah. Billy Walters on the bench, so they'll take some minutes off each other. But you'd think with Pake starting, he'll get the majority of those minutes now. So that'll keep a couple of Shepherd's happy, I'd have thought.
I think they'll be happier when Walters isn't there at all.
I'm happy for him to be 14 for now. At least he can cover halves because Reynolds, we know what he's made of. So it's nice to have a backup half.
Yeah, Gazewski gets that starting spot. P. Cora was named on the bench, so they'll share minutes there, you'd think.
So they've got a hooker and a back rower. Interesting
bench, a hooker and a back rower and two middles. And I think that's good news for Kobe Hetherington.
Unless they push Carrigan back to 13 and bring a middle on, but it's still,
still two in that rotation.
I still Payne's still coming back from injury, so I don't think Payne's going to play big minutes yet, to be honest.
If you're choosing one between Gazewski and Hetherington, I know Gazewski's a fair bit cheaper, but which way are you going?
Oh, Hetherington. I'm very worried about Gazewski. He could be gone next week.
Yeah, Piakura on the bench. Yeah. You'd assume that he takes
Kobe,
some of Gazewski's minutes. Yeah.
Kobe's become Madge's favourite immediately. They're already talking about contract extensions. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, when Madge arrived, they were shopping him around. Hetherington.
And he's on his way to the Tigers, I think.
He put a big kibosh straight on that, didn't he?
Yeah. I reckon Kobe's going to play 50 to 60 minutes, which for him at that price is great.
I did read, though, that Madge gave Gazewski his first grade debut at Souths in 2016. So he's also one of his guys.
Yeah. Mm. I think it's Piakura that just gets bad luck. He might only get 20 minutes, to be honest.
Probably all he deserves. He can't miss too many tackles in 20 minutes.
That's right. Very true.
Yeah, the only other selection to note in that game is Shibasaki in the centres. Cheap option.
What do you say about Shibasaki? Carry on about that. Me and Train have said this from the start, and so is Madge. Shibasaki was ahead of Mariner. So Mariner's come in for Stags. It's not Shiba. So Shibasaki earned the spot first.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, it's good job security for a cheapie.
Yeah. Well, at least 5 weeks.
Yeah. Well, especially when the other center's Mariner and he can't tackle.
Yeah. Be interesting. All right, moving on to the Tigers and Knights.
Really, the only thing I've got here is I think a few people were waiting to see if Stafford Toa got named, but he's not named anywhere for the Tigers, not even on the extended bench, I don't think. So no real surprises for the Knights. The Y comes in for the Tigers. Be interesting to see how they go. They've got a young hooker on the bench with Coruscant still out, suspended.
Talon to Silver starts, so he'll go to the bench the following week. So don't get sucked in to a young guy. Adam Dewey playing centres, which I like. I'm glad he's been picked there. Jaden Sullivan on the bench, which I thought was an interesting. No, that's for South.
That's for South.
Play for the Tigers anymore.
Yeah. Don't mind me.
he has been named on the bench for South.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a sec.
We'll get to that.
Just jumping ahead.
We can move on to that game. So that is the next game, Dolphins and Souths. Moved to Combank Stadium in Sydney, same time. Plath on an edge. I know we
sucks.
Spoke about that last week, didn't we?
I like it because I think it'll bring his value down. You can pick him up later when they realise that he's not a 12.
And they move him back to lock.
Yeah. And Gilbert goes back into the front row rotation or something.
And they just play.
Once Flegler retires for good.
Yeah, well, that's really the only comment I had on the Dolphins team. Campbell Graham and Cody Walker both named. Sullivan is on the bench there, so perhaps there's still a little bit of doubt around Cody Walker's old man calf injury.
What do you think
getting the start? Good. Hubner getting the start's great news.
Yeah. What about Mamazelis? How many minutes do you think he gets? Who's the? There's a big unit that.
Havili can play hooker.
Yeah.
But Jaden Sullivan's got to play somewhere too. So
yeah, I reckon he's got to play hooker, especially with Humphreys.
Humphreys at seven.
Chris Dodd's suspended, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that gets us no closer to any sort of theory on what's going to happen around that Mamazelis minutes. And is there a chance if Humphreys comes out and kills it that Dodd doesn't just come straight back in? Or are they paying too much money for him?
Oh, it's Wayne Bennett. I don't think he gives a shit how much he's paying someone. He wants to win games.
Yeah. So I actually think Humphreys is a really bloody good player. So
if Humphreys goes well this week, Wayne won't bring Dodd in. He'll keep Humphreys, surely.
Yeah. And I think that probably only bodes well for Mamazelis. I can't see Sullivan
Sullivan's defence in the middle might be a bit sus.
He won't play big minutes, you wouldn't think.
Yeah, so that's probably good there. Yep. Dragons and Dogs.
Dragons and Dogs, yeah, Saturday night. No for now who scored 4 tries, I think, in the Charity Shield. So Tui Pilotu comes back in on to that wing. Toby Couchman named it prop. He's got that dual 2RF front row forward now, so he'll become quite a popular pick, I think, swinging up and down with Horsburgh and Fasu Malawi and those sort of guys. For the Bulldogs, I didn't think it was possible that they would play an even smaller pack this year, but they have. They've done it. Have a look at their bench. Haywood, Tupanua, Harry Hayes, and the weak gutted dog himself. There's not a whole lot of size on that bench, is there, to come on and rumble through the middle. So
who's the starting front row? King and
Max St. King Hughes. And Sam Hughes. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I've actually picked up Toby Couchman, 483,000 just to start the year. I think he's going to do a job. I actually think he'll get reasonable minutes. I think he'll score above that price. So I just kind of want... I mean, Dane Laurie's about 145 kilos from what I've heard. He's not likely to come back. I don't think Flano really likes him, so...
Blake Laurie.
Oh, Blake
Laurie. Dane Laurie certainly isn't 145 kilos. 2 of them
would be. Maybe.
But jeez, yeah,
I'm having a bad day.
The Bulldogs bench, does that make you think someone like Kikau might not play 80? Because surely Preston plays 80.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do that rotation. Like,
well, Haywood and Kurt Mann will switch. But and Tupanua, what? Surely he's going to play in the middle then.
Has to.
Harry Hayes, he's a middle.
He's a middle. He was a winger.
So it's just Salmon, really. Either Salmon comes on as an edge or a middle.
Yeah, I don't know how he does. I don't know what his plan is through there.
Curtis Morin always got picked. That's why it's an odd one.
He's on the extended bench, yeah. Morin. So
yeah, I don't know. Be interesting. Be a watch. I don't know. I got a feeling that the Dogs teams might work him out a bit this year. They'll still be gritty in defence, but I think teams will work him out.
Mm. Anyway, on to the next game. Manly and the Cowboys, Saturday night at Brookvale Oval. The very creative hooker, Jazz Tavanga, at number 9 for the injured Lachlan Croker. So he looks like he's got that job for how long's Croker out? 5 or 6 weeks, something like that, I think.
Is it still a check?
No, I don't think so. He came back from that, I think. Yeah. It's a different injury, I think. Otherwise, I think Manly are pretty much as you would have expected. Hopewate gets that wing spot, so he's awkwardly priced, 530,000-odd, I think.
Yeah, I think you can swing to him after you have a bit of a watch and see what goes on there at Manly and see how they play. I don't think for that price, if you've got a couple of those guys, you can just trade one to the other if one's not going well.
Yeah, and then for the Cowboys, Duffy named at 7. Clifford is lurking on an extended bench.
Do you like that or you don't like that?
That Clifford's on the extended bench? Oh, I don't know. They've probably just got a name. An extended bench.
Does it show that Duffy's won the position and it's his to lose?
Well, not really, because we know Clifford's hadn't been injured all preseason. So to me, it doesn't. To me, it shows that Clifford's still a chance of possibly next week going back to 7.
Bit of a scary one, isn't it?
If you own him, it is.
You don't own him?
No.
Yeah, just scary for me. Nothing surer than that Clifford will come in next week. So mark my words, if you can get out of the Duffy one now, get out.
Yeah. Then the final game is the Storm against Parramatta down in Melbourne on Sunday afternoon. They've got some troops back for this one who haven't really played in the preseason, the Storm. Pappenhausen, Warbrick, Xavier Coates, Jerome Hughes, all named to play.
They'll win by the length of the Flemington straight, I reckon.
Well, they have a pretty good track record in round one, don't they?
They haven't lost under Bellamy, but
yeah,
the Eels team doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence.
No Mitchell Moses, Ronald Volkman at 7. I do like Riley Smith named on the bench.
It's probably not where I'm most concerned. It's more on the wing.
Sean Russell and Jake Tago, yeah. Jack Williams and Kelma Tuolangi on the edges.
And on the edges. That doesn't strike fear into anyone either.
No. And again, another interesting bench here. So Riley Smith, Matt Dory, Ryan Madison and Charlie Geimer. I think that's probably good for Hopgood owners like myself.
Except that he plays for the Eels and they're probably going to be under the sticks a lot.
Well, yeah.
True story. Hard to get super coach points when you're watching whoever's kicking. Who's going to kick? Meany. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It could be a tough outing for the Eels with several players out already. Could be a baptism of fire for old Riles going back down to Melbourne. Anyway, probably spent enough time on that. Guards, you got anything else to add? Well, you're right. Are you ready for your first real outing with angry fans? I'm going to do a little mock-up design for angry fans, and I'm just going to list your angry fans for people. Probably another one that they'll sue us for, just like the succulent Chinese multi.
Yeah, fuck them.
Go, guys. Give us your angry fans.
Oh, I'm on. Am I?
You're on.
Anything down, to be honest. But the first one I had was, so I'm going to just start with the Supercoach scorers because we're two games in and they've already pissed me off. See how good's that? Great start to the year for Supercoach. And it was my man, Zach Hosking. I ended up bringing him in on Saturday night. I got a bit, started looking at Supercoach and I went with Zach Hosking, my man. And I just don't understand how Savage throws him a ball. Hosking then
draws
the last defender for Timoko, who goes through and scores. He gets given the try assist and the line break assist. And then was it late Sunday night? I think it was. They've just decided to take it off him and give him a contribution. So absolute bullshit in my opinion.
Especially how they scored other games. Like I mentioned at the start, I just think there was other examples of exactly the same thing and they gave them the try assist and the line break assist, but not Hosking. I don't know. A bit like the bunker. I'm baffled sometimes.
Yeah. Well, then they did that with Cleary. As we said, he should have at least got one try assist.
He should have got two, I thought. But anyway.
And then, of course, it was Ashley Klein who had an absolute stinker again.
Was that that was the Panthers game, wasn't it?
Yeah. I didn't understand how Isaiah Yeo and Penrith, they held the guy down so then they could challenge. I thought you weren't allowed to do that anymore.
Yeah, well, I said that to Mark because that then becomes the only challengeable offence is the hold down because teams were doing that all the time, holding down and then going back one play.
Because Isaiah Yeo made the guy hold him down and then as soon as he got up, he's like, I want to challenge it. I'm sorry. Last year they were getting told they can't do that.
And they can only challenge the hold down.
Yeah.
So,
and then poor old Cam McInnes wanted to challenge.
It was a strip,
and Ashley Klein told him he wasn't allowed.
Yeah.
What do you mean the captain's not allowed to put in a challenge? Isn't that what the challenge is for?
Yeah, it was a.
In fact, Ashley's just making up his own rules. He was doing his best to get Penrith a win, and he. Because even at the end there, when he missed, I don't understand how Alamotti drops the ball forward and Mitch Kenny's allowed to pick it up and run 40. To be fair, it was the slowest 40 metres I've ever seen run because Mitch Kenny is shit. But still, how does Ashley Klein just let him do that? So, fuck Ashley Klein. He's a bold dog.
What about the touchy missing the foot on the line for the 40-20 for Cleary?
Well, to be fair, that touchy was running as fast as Mitch Kenny was. He wasn't doing much. You have one job, as a touchy, you have one job.
Gadzi, I'm going to break protocol here and read something out from one of our listeners because it does mention you, and it says, "G'day, Shepherds. Thank Christ the footy is back. It's good to hear you talking about Supercoach again. Brings a welcomed relief from Alex's constant dribble. He has been on a health kick and turned vegan. I'm afraid I need to have a bit of a whinge. Each year, the refereeing seems to be on the decline. How many Supercoach scores have been affected by dodgy send-offs that barely deserved a penalty? We see too many poor decisions and the inability to even make a decision, then sending it to the bloody bunker instead.
Some of the rulings given inside the bunker leave me scratching my head, and I sometimes wonder if they have received a head knock themselves. While I'm on the subject of the after effects from concussion, how many times have the touchies been Johnny on the spot looking directly at a foot on the line, only to have a vacant stare on their non-committal face and do nothing? It is ruining the glorious game of rugby league. So instead of constantly having the shits, I've decided to have some fun with it. After each round, I'm going to choose the top three referees and give them Dally M points, or give them points just like the Dally M. At the end of the season, the shitter Sutton, I mean referee, will be awarded the Injudicious Cup. My question is, would Guardsy be interested in being a judge? I like the statistical analysis he brings to the table and the eloquent way he presents his unbiased view. I don't think this bloke's listened to the podcast. If he's describing you like that.
I don't think I've ever been described as eloquent.
Or unbiased.
Yeah. I'm very unbiased. What are you talking about? who is reffing the Broncos on for Thursday?
Put him on the list. Having someone that is neutral would add some integrity. Keen to hear your thoughts.
I am very neutral. The good news is Jared Sutton is reffing the Broncos on Thursday night, so we can probably give him 2 points at least.
I said I'll read it out and ask him. Think you'll be keen and pretty sure you'll give Belinda Sharp 3 votes every week. Oh. So, Jamie, thanks for the very long-worded question and great thought that you've given to that, and I'm sure it'll be a really cool part. If you send us your 3-2-1s, we'll add it into Guardsy's Angry Fans each week and we'll keep a bit of a tally, have a little tab on the tile. And I'm sure, Guards, is that a yes? You're happy to help out?
100%.
Beautiful.
Mine's already up there.
Beautiful. All right, so we're going to go from that into our questions. Thanks, Guardsy. That's all the angry fans you've got this week.
That's all for now.
All right, all for now. You might think of some more later.
No, I'm not sure.
So back out to Moree after Jamie. He mentioned Alex, so I'm going to assume he's one of the coffee van dogs. Alex says, is Lomax a lock for teams this year, kicking goals at the Eels, or is he a watch with his move to the centre? How many games is a decent sample size before we jump on if he goes well?
Well, he's worth, how much is he worth? 700 and something K.
He's expensive.
I just think Ruben Garrick's only 680, so surely you go to Ruben Garrick, who we've seen when Manly are on and he's at centre, he's a way better option.
Yep. So you just wait. So you wait and see what Lomax puts out, I think. So it's,
I can't see Lomax making much more money than what he's already worth.
I probably don't think he needs to make money if you're going to lock him in, because if he's averaging 79, if he can continue on that average, you're pretty stoked.
But you could also, you don't want to spend that money and then he averages 50.
Yeah, that's right. So I think the likelihood is that he regresses a little bit in the centres, particularly now that Moses is out, because I didn't think his try scoring would go down with someone who can pinpoint a kick on top of the opposition halfback or something like that, especially with the goal kicking. But I just worry for Parramatta with their attacking flair might be a bit stifled with the team that they're running out. So I don't think there'll be too many kicks. I don't think there'll be as many tries. He's a definite wait for me. Mark, are you in agreeance?
100%.
He also plays Melbourne round one. So
yeah, absolutely. All right, the next question comes from a long-time listener and someone that I'm really keen for the other Shepherds to meet during our Sydney Magic round that we're putting together, Dolphunnies. His question is, hey, gang, big fan of the potty. And if you've met him, you'll understand that that's exactly what he would have said. Thoughts on Clintus Gutho? Has a solid left pass and has been interviewed saying that he's really thinking the Dragons can win this year. Thoughts on Clint Gutherson?
The king is dead.
The king is dead. No chance.
He looks about 84 now. He's shit. He was never the king. He's a wanker. He's not a good footballer. Do not even go near him.
All right, Dolphunnies. I think that's the sign of approval from Guards there. I think he's pretty keen on Gutho this year. He also says, also good mates with Todd Payton. Duffy named halfback, but in jersey 19 is Big Cliffy. Todd texted me and said he's personally going to change it up last minute just to have a laugh. We do know that Todd, after previously talking about Todd and his coaching for dummies, that he is just as likely, even this week, to have a late change with Duffy and leave us all stranded. So Dolphunnies, I think, is looking forward to that one. Real ass move, that Dolphunnies, to even suggest that's going to happen.
No, I'm all for it, Dolphunnies.
I'd prefer if he did it after he plays 2 games, to be honest.
Leaves him as the Jacob Gagai of 2025. All right, Jason Auld, how much cash do you hold in reserve? What's the ideal amount to try and keep? He says, for clarity, I've got 400,000 in the bank. He said, I think that's a bit too much, but it could help get me out of Luke Metcalf if he stinks in round two.
So he got Dan Marnie's old interest rates there, has he?
Not sure. Don't know what his team is. He might have sent me his team a while ago, but 400,000, it's a bit high. I think you can upgrade a 300,000 player to a gun, and that's what I'd be doing because I don't think you want to just keep it sitting there. If the gun doesn't work out, you can always use one trade to trade him down, but if he does work, the gun works out, you're laughing. You got money in the bank?
Oh, I've got about 30,000. I think you should get bonus points if you can spend every dollar you have to the dollar.
I have seen a team that has zero in the bank, and the guy said it was harder than you can imagine to do. Guards, you got money in the bank or not too worried?
It's like 33K.
Yeah, I think I've got about 55. So not enough to really help. I'd have to make a couple of trades to get myself out of a bit of trouble, I think. So 400,000, way too much, Guardsy.
Way too much. Crazy amount.
He should go and buy an investment center or something.
Yeah, that's right. Luke says he went Hines over Cleary as he was cheaper. Is Hines still a viable play now that he's kicking goals or now that he isn't kicking goals, or should I jump to Cleary? Or can you suggest someone I could trade to and pocket some extra cash?
I own both Hines and Cleary. I don't own Duffy, but I think I wasn't overly disappointed with 50 against the Panthers. I think when he comes up against, I don't know who they play in the next couple of weeks, but clearly softer opposition than Penrith.
Everyone is.
Not at this point in time, I wouldn't. I think the goal kicking is he's got a bit of groin tightness or something. So he's a better kicker than Trindle. So eventually he's got to get that goal kicking back, I'd think. So,
did you hear the question, Guardsy?
Something about Hines, wasn't it?
Yeah, Hines over. He went. So Luke said he went Hines over Cleary as he was cheaper. Yeah. Is Hines still a viable option if he's not kicking goals, or should I jump to Cleary, or is there someone you can suggest to trade to and pocket some extra cash?
If I've got Hines now, I'm holding him for at least one more week because they're not playing Penrith next week. But you don't need to trade him after 1 week. I'd at least, now that I've got him, I'm waiting one more week because Cleary only scored 68. Like,
wasn't heaps more.
And that gives you a chance to look at guys like Luai as well.
Yeah, so, agree. Even someone like Jerome Hughes, if he comes back on fire, that's probably someone else you can pick up and set and forget as well.
Or you rely on
no point trading,
and you can go Hines to Duffy and
exactly
team somewhere else.
Yeah,
give it one more week. Hines could come out and score 120 next week. So
yeah, I hope not. But anyway. We'll see there. And the last one is from Dan, the world's busiest man who's usually on the podcast. He said, is Trindle a buy this year? I wish I believed in my gut. He looks like he's running the show and kicking goals. I don't think Trindle's your man, Dan.
No.
I think Trainer had strong views on that as well and said, don't be an idiot, but in less
polite terms.
So
Trindle looked like he did every other year except he was kicking goals.
Yeah, he doesn't rack up the points like the other two do. No. Like the other blokes do for some reason. I think it's because he passes before the line. He doesn't take those runs that the others take. He doesn't get tackle busts. I don't know. He's just a distributor and a bit of a kicker and not much else. So I know, what did Trindle score? 55, but that was with a try assist and some goals. Probably, I know it was against Penrith, but Trindle might have some good scores. And if you really do believe in it, Dan, I know you'll listen to this. Do it, mate. What do you got to lose besides top 1,000? Remember when that happened to you a couple of years ago in the last round? Anyway, we'll move on. it's hard because we normally do trade talk now, and I've only got a couple of things that I wanted to say. I have traded in Hubner, just because I think after team was Tuesday, and that's been the only change to my team.
I did it too. Yeah, I brought in Hubner.
I think you'll be a pretty popular addition to teams.
Yeah, I just think at his price, I like him more than Gazewski, and that was what I'd done, Gazewski to Hubner.
I've got Gazewski and Hubner.
I think
Hubner's... Yeah, I've got the two of them too, Guardsy.
Hubner's one of Wayne's boys.
I ended up upgrading Connor Watson to my man, Jacob Preston.
Yeah, I've got Preston as well, which I love over Watson. I was able to do that with a couple of spare dollars. So VCM captain, I think we did it last week, but I'm still stuck on Ponga and Turbo.
I'm Cleary and Turbo.
Okay.
Yeah, I've VC Ponga, yeah. C Turbo.
And have you got someone that you can bring in, and have you arranged your team so that you can use the loop if you need to? Have you looked at that? Have a little look at that, because it's a bit trickier than you think.
I've got Tino sitting on it.
But yeah, but I'm assuming you've got the Tigers.
I'm very lucky to not have to do
any. The Tigers play the Knights, so you wouldn't be able to do that. So have a little look, because you might need to try and arrange that so that you can actually use the loop. Do you reckon the flex is going to allow us to use the loop a bit more?
I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. You still need to be confident, like, in what your VC scores.
Yeah, and it's probably going to be a bit tricky, especially with someone like Metcalf putting 12 out and a lot of people playing him.
And the issue is this year, some people have gone three big guns, even like two good fullbacks and a gun flex.
Yeah.
So then you've got another guy that you're worried about that you could captain that might brain it as well, which makes it even harder.
The succulent Chinese multi, we've gone away from the magic multi that we had last year because there wasn't a lot of magic and we needed a bit of magic. So, and I'm very impressed with my little graphic that I've got that'll sit down the bottom of the podcast tile each week. I hope you're as happy as I am with it.
Oh, very happy, but some of us, you know, there were some complaints.
Were there?
Yeah.
From who?
Kevin, the common man who doesn't look on Instagram.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't have Instagram. He's not very common then, is he?
Yeah.
Anyway, so this week, Kev, we're going to announce it in the podcast because we didn't have it ready, and I'll fall on my sword and say that I made the succulent Chinese multi. I went a four-leg instead of a three-leg and should have only gone a two-leg. But anyway, we missed two legs last week. Two out of four ain't bad. It's probably not what Meatloaf was meaning. But Mark, the succulent Chinese multi, I'm referring back to you. We're going again. Little multi this week. Hit us with it.
Little multi to get us started this week. So we'll start off Thursday night, the Roosters v the Broncos. I like Weesey Walsh to get a try for the Broncos there. I think Ben Hunt can unlock him there on both sides of the field. Reynolds and Hunt, he can sweep around both sides, get himself a try. Then go to the Tigers and the Knights. I've got Kalen Ponga to score a try.
I can picture it like this. Kalen passing to Sharp, Sharp burning the guy on the outside, coming up to the fullback, Ponga backing up on the inside, scoring under the post. Is that how you projecting that to go?
Perfect.
Yeah, that'll do me.
Perfect. And then we're going to Brookvale Oval. There's not a lot of value in a Manly try scorer at Brookvale Oval, but I found a man from the Cowboys who likes a try. Braden Burns on the wing.
Braden Burns is actually sneaky relevant in Supercoach.
Yeah.
If he can stay injury free, there's a reason why he's always around that 500k mark. Because he is a try scorer and he does get attacking stats.
So there we've got Reece Walsh, Kalen Ponga, Braden Burns, three-leg multi there, $11.14 with Sportsbet. You can get $12.77 with a boost. Gamble responsibly.
Gamble responsibly. You win. You lose more than you win.
Think about what you could be buying with the winnings, I think, is how that goes at the end.
A succulent Chinese meal at the Emerald Garden like we were going to have on What was the winger's name? I can't even.
Jakiah Whitfield.
Yeah, Jakiah Whitfield. While you played all right footy, I don't know what was happening down that right side. I think the left wingers, the left centre scored five tries combined in Isabel Kelly and Sergis. The left winger scored three tries. Tanika Upling scored five. And down the right side, they could manage one try each, the centre and the winger. Geez, I tell you what, pretty hard going. Big weekend. You've got right up until the last game to lock in your sides. The players lock out as their sides play, so you can make unlimited trades right up. And I suggest you do that. Go on your gut feel, Dan. Don't listen to everyone else. And if you like a tricky Trindle-style player, pick him up. I've gone Toby Couchman this year, and I really hope he just trucks it up the middle and does a bit like Lindsay Smith for the Panthers early on. So pretty happy with that.
Any last words?
Up the Broncos. Fuck the Roosters.
Couldn't agree more. All right, boys. Thanks, Gardsy. We'll see you later.
See ya.
See ya, mate.
Thanks for listening. Ta-ta and farewell.